bucket today and get 20% off the parts you need. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, minimum three items. Some exclusions apply. Offer good while supplies last.
4 minutes past the hour at 3 o'clock. Gym class in Caddy Smack for the first time in 2017 coming your way here at KGYM. We will get to that here in just a moment. Brian Haas with us in studio. Rick Swann will join us in studio coming up here in just a couple of moments. We will have a Dr. Pepper prize pack for you to win today as well, chock full of delicious regular or diet Dr. Pepper. Also, we will have a Bowling Night in America preview, but it is Caddy Smack as we get ready for the Masters, and that's coming up here on KGYM. Let it fly, as Mark Duke says. Welcome in. Gym class coming your way 5 past the hour at 3 o'clock here at KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. Soggy Wednesday, kind of a cool Wednesday as well. It's soggy down in Georgia, that's for sure, as the Masters Par 3 contest washed away, literally, today, as they tried. They got it going a little bit earlier on. Mike Weir did get a hole-in-one, but for the most part, most of the contest was washed away here today. We welcome you in. Scott Unash along with Mark Dukes. Brian Haas with us in studio. We'll introduce him properly coming up in a moment. Rick Swann will join us as well coming up here in just a little bit from Rob FM. And we will get to Caddy Smack coming up here in just a moment or two. Pretty much everything today, Mark, washed away, whether it's in Atlanta, Georgia, or here in eastern Iowa, or central Iowa, Iowa baseball, Iowa softball, Cornell baseball and softball, Mount Mercy baseball and softball. I don't think anything's going on today.
Nothing except Bowling Night in America, right?
That will go on as scheduled.
Well, it's
bigger
April.
And better than ever.
It's April. Brian Haas will tell you this is good for the golf courses. Things are greening up. We need some moisture.
They're getting it down in Augusta, Georgia, for sure. They had some nasty weather roll through there. In fact, they cleared the course at about 12:30 today. Par 3 contest was just underway. It kind of goes throughout the day. There's no tee times. You just kind of saunter up to the first tee. Kind of be nice just to saunter up to the first tee at Augusta and just, I'm ready. Just, put us in. We're ready to go.
My name's Jack. I've got three. Can I? Yes, you're next, Mr. Nicholas.
Yeah, we don't have quite that much pull. But at any rate, we'll get to a lot of Augusta talk today. Talking about the rules as well, we're going to take your phone calls on Caddy Smack coming up as well. If you have questions over the winter about getting your game in shape for spring 2017 or for the 2017 season, we'll take those with Brian coming up in just a little bit. A few things to take care of first before we get into Caddy Smack, and that would be number one, to talk about Dr. Pepper. We did that. Thank you very much to Steve and everybody down the hill at Dr. Pepper Snapple. We do appreciate all the help that they give us, and we will have a prize pack coming up in a couple of minutes here or so. But we don't want to neglect Bowling Night in America, and we will not neglect Bowling Night in America tonight, Mark, because it is a red letter evening tonight.
Talking about Rusty's return?
I am.
Okay. Our patriarch Rusty Swires back from Florida, back on the lineup tonight, and like I said last week, there's going to be hell to pay because he wanted us to be on the left hand side of the 12 team standings, and we are just outside of that, and now it's his chance to make a contribution.
True, maybe he's what we need. He's going to kickstart us. He may kick something.
Rusty Nails, 60 up, 60 down on the season, 7th place. A title out of reach, but a high finish still possible.
Yeah, it's going to take some mathematical wizardry for us to try to come up with a way to win this thing. We got to go 12-0.
But you've already tried to figure it out.
No, I haven't even tried because...
Don't we have 4 weeks left?
Apparently not.
All right, you misguided me there.
I asked Mike Hoskins last week as he was, putting up a 650. I asked him, did you forget the last week, the position week? And he said, no, that's banquet week, Scott. And so I guess we're not having that final position night. So it's only three more.
3 weeks left, and we're on lanes 21 and 22 tonight against Barry's Lanes. Barry's in last place, but a dangerous team. Always our nemesis, I think.
Always bowl well against us.
we're going to be giving some pins, and we're going to have to bowl well. So, yeah, Rusty back in the lineup tonight. Great to have him back, and I'm sure we'll hear some great stories about his golf game down in Florida.
Yeah.
And when I talked to him, it wasn't so good. But
yeah. The one piece of news today, it looks as though the Missouri Valley is going to lose Wichita State. Sounds like they are going to be off to the American Athletic Conference as a basketball-only school. It's not a death blow for the Missouri Valley Conference, but boy, it is. You take away Creighton, and now you take away Wichita State. And it sounds like Wichita State's going to be playing next year in the AAC. Now, who do you bring in if you are the Missouri Valley Conference? That is the big question today. There's not a real big name. Last time it happened, Loyola came in out of Chicago. A lot of people throwing around St. Louis University. I don't know if that's geographically it makes sense. Maybe you go to one of the Dakotas now and approach them. North Dakota, South Dakota, one of the states up there. I don't know, but it really hurts the Missouri Valley.
Yeah, it's certainly move up for Wichita State, though. You're in a league now with the likes of Connecticut and Memphis and others, and it good for Wichita State, but I agree. It's going to be a blow to the Missouri Valley because when you talk about Missouri Valley Conference basketball, as much success as you and I has had, it's Wichita State that is the headliner.
Yeah. And, Mark, before we get to break, your Minnesota Twins are going to be 2-0.
I think for the first time in a decade. And 160 more to go, but I'm excited about, I mean, it's better than the alternative, right? Which we've gone through the alternative for about 10 years now.
Your first place Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, just watching the games, listening to them. Kansas City's out of sorts, I think. Its pitching staff has given up something like 16 walks in two games, which I'm excited about the Twins showing more discipline, but 9-1 final?
It's going in the ninth inning, 9-1.
Okay.
9-1. So it's not over, but it's all but over right there. All right. What we are going to do right now before we hit a break here, by the way, our May City Bowl is a proud sponsor of our Bowling Night in America preview, and you can stop by for open bowling, et cetera. Give the phone number and the website, Mark.
Yeah, give them a call at 362-0136 on the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
All right, and we have a Dr. Pepper prize pack we're going to give somebody out there a chance to win right now. It's chock full of Dr. Pepper, 24-pack. That's two cases of Dr. Pepper, either regular Dr. Pepper or Diet Dr. Pepper, some Dr. Pepper swag, some KGYM swag, including a pint glass going out to caller number 6. Caller number 6 at 319-366-1600. You are going to pick up a Dr. Pepper prize pack. We're going to get into Caddy Smack when we come back. We're going to start things off talking with Dr. Dave Johnson, of course, Zach's dad, and he is off to Georgia. And he is going to, we'll let him tell the story. He's got a very interesting odyssey this week in Georgia. And we'll get to that when we come back. We'll get to Caddy Smack for the first time in 2017 right here on KGYM. May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the Mature League, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
Public Clearing Home is here at the home of Barb White, winner of our $5,000 a week forever sweepstakes. Let's go surprise her with the good news. Oh my, oh well, I've never seen anything quite like this, folks. It appears Barb has let her lawn go for a few years, maybe. We'll just go around the side. Oh, that's not gonna work.
Ooh, is that Public Clearing Home? Did I win?
Yes, ma'am, you won. We've got the check right here. Just need to get it to you.
Walk by the wind chimes next to the bug zapper.
Okay, sure.
Okay, duck your head under. Oh, I can't believe I won. This is just so exciting. Oh, dear. Are you okay?
You have a moat? You know what? We'll mail you the check. I hope you have a gigantic mailbox.
I do, in fact, right next to my gnome nativity scene. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Need landscaping? Get a loan. Go to Paco. DePaco Community Credit Union. We got you covered. With low rates and local service, getting money has never been easier. Apply now at DePaco.com.
DePaco Community Credit Union. Equal opportunity lender.
Opening day for your Cedar Rapids Colonels is Saturday, April 8th at 5.05 p.m. The Colonels are back, and we can't wait to open the gates on a new season. Join us for a Saturday afternoon of Colonels baseball and enjoy fresh popcorn, jumbo hot dogs, and ice-cold beverages. Remember to grab your 2017 magnet scheduled at the game and mark down all the great promotions for the upcoming season. Colonels baseball is back Saturday, April 8th. Get your tickets now by visiting colonels.com for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
It's Caddy Smack on the Gym Class, talking local and national golf from the first tee to the 19th hole. Here are Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, and Rick Swan.
And welcome into Caddy Smack, first edition of the year for 2017. Masters Week is here, and great to have the world's greatest tournament back. I think it's the world's greatest tournament anyway. Scott Unash, Rick Swan, Mark Dukes here, and we are going to talk right now with Dr. Dave Johnson, the father of Zach Johnson, and of course, Zach, the 2007 winner of the Masters Golf Tournament. And first of all, Dave, tell us a little bit about how the winter went for you. I know that that you're a grandpa again, so congratulations on that.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I am. We have a little granddaughter named, holy cow.
That's an interesting name, Dave.
Okay, her name is Clara Lee Johnson. Oh. it's an older name, and so I'm obviously getting used to it and haven't gotten used to it yet, apparently. So,
right.
And this is Zach's younger brother's little girl and their first child, so we're up to three girls and three boys now in the family.
How exciting. That's congratulations.
Thank you. It's great.
Of course, 10 years ago, Dave, Will was just a tyke. That's Zach's oldest, and you kind of talked about it a little bit, but what's the Johnson family gone through the last 10 years in terms of adding folks to the family tree?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been, you know, Will was the first, and he's my namesake. His actual name is David William, And so it was really emotional when he was born, and a month after he was born, my dad died, and then Zach wins the Masters about 2.5 months later, and he even talks about how he felt like his grandpa's spirit was with him that weekend. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, since then, Zach and Kim have another son and a little girl, and my daughter has a 5-year-old girl and a 2-year-old son. And then now we have this little Clara Lee, born about 3.5 weeks ago.
Awesome. Well, you can do some 3-on-3 in things here pretty soon. And
absolutely.
Have to add a section to the Thanksgiving table, too.
For sure. Oh, yeah. Well, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. So 10th anniversary for Zach as he rolls into Augusta. Your thoughts going into this week?
Yeah, you know, I've been texting the last couple of days, and you know, we were watching the he was watching the basketball games, and I was, and yeah, I think his head's in pretty good space. He came off of the match play weekend 2 weeks ago, feeling I think okay. He got hammered pretty good by Dustin Johnson.
Well, yeah,
so did everybody else. So it's not anything new there. So I think some things are coming around. You know, it's going to be interesting. The weather forecast sounds a little dicey a couple days, which maybe works up to his advantage a little bit based on, you know, what it was like 10 years ago and also, you know, at the British Open in 2015. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'll see. You got to be able to control the ball, and he does that pretty well, especially in the wind. And he hits it a little lower, so the guys that hit a high ball flight, you know, they could be affected with some of the wind and stuff that's going to be coming. So, yeah, we'll see.
He had some highlight reel stuff, too. You know, banking one off a ball into the hole from the sand. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure he called that. Supposed to call those on three-point shots, too. And like that guy last night, I'm pretty sure he didn't. We didn't call that shot.
Very well documented what the 2007 weather was, Dave. And Zach is scheduled to go off just after 9 o'clock local time in Augusta on Thursday. And it's supposed to be maybe 40s at that time. But it sounds like he's going to avoid what could be high winds in the afternoon. So I don't know. What would you rather have?
I think, I mean, I don't know. I think he'll be fine with that cool temperature. That's not going to be that big of a deal for him. I think all these guys, to some extent, have played in cool weather. And so it's just that how does it affect the course? And, you know, are they going to have, I mean, like you said, I think low 40s, maybe some even upper 30s. So is there going to be any frost on the ground? That kind of thing. And so they maybe have to wait for that if there is any. You know, so I think if you're going to take the cool temperatures and no wind versus maybe a little warmer and wind, I think you'd want to take the cooler temperatures and no wind.
I would agree. I would agree on that. And can you believe, and I know it's the milestone, the 10th year since the 2007 victory, and a lot of people writing about it. It's being featured on publications out there. Hard to believe that 10 years has passed and since Zach won that first green or the green jacket.
For sure, yeah. I mean, it's it's what happens when you get my age. Time it does really go fast. But, you know, it's been a fun ride, and I was asked about it earlier, too, about, you know, I think it's with the championships he's won since then, it's kind of validated his career.
Right.
Especially, you know, winning at St. Andrews at the British Open in 2015 and then all the other tournaments in between. It's pretty good career, you know. It's not – it's questionable whether or not it's Hall of Fame or not.
I think so.
I think he has to win some more. But, you know, some people are even talking that. Bottom line is it's way better than Rick Riley – wrote about on Dan Patrick's show 10 years ago. So
he's got a lot more in him. I mean, the way he's playing, you see the spark every now and then, like in the match play. I mean, his first day was kind of rough. Was he not feeling well? That was reported at one point, I think, that he wasn't feeling well day one.
He wasn't. It was a bronchitis thing or something, and he questioned whether or not he even should have been playing. And then after the round, he said, I just kind of gave it away. And based on some of the things I looked at, it kind of sounds like he did. But, you know, in fact, every time he played number one just about, I think he lost number one off all four rounds and was able to win two of them. And Dustin birdied it the first time and with him, and Zach at least parted. But so, yeah, I don't think he was feeling too good that day. And then the next couple of days, he played better, obviously, and apparently felt better, too. So,
well, like I said, he showed these flashes over the last month or so.
Yeah.
So,
there's maybe, you know, I mean, I think he's going in. I texted him Sunday night after he played the practice round with his swing coach, Mike Bender. And I said, how's your game? And he says, super. So, you know, I'll take that for what it's worth. I hope it is. So we'll just have to see.
Yes, Dave, Zach has gone to the Bob Parsons Club. Has it taken a while for him to get used to those and get acclimated to, you know, every single club?
Yeah, I think so, Mark. I mean, last year he said it's going to be a process, and he did say this year that he couldn't be happier with the equipment. So, you know, you look at the timing of when he switched and then how he's played since then, it does kind of appear that, you know, it could be an equipment thing too. But he claims he's very, very happy with the company and with the clubs.
Yeah, and with the new grandbaby for you guys, a little different week for you. So you're kind of you're hoping for good things because you can change the schedule around a little bit. Kind of talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so the plan is we get in on Wednesday, and we got Wednesday, probably Thursday, Friday with the baby and to help them out and let the new mom sleep a little bit. And he'll be working, and I can do a few things around the house. And then, you know, maybe Saturday, Sunday, if Big Brother's doing something pretty good, we can – I think it's only two and a half hours to drive over there from where he lives. So we can head on over and even come back the same day if we want, or stay over one night with Zach and Kim, or yeah, we'll just see. So it's, we're fluid. We have some options. So it should be, you know, hopefully it should be kind of fun all the way around.
Has your handicap gone down the last 10 years, Dave?
it's probably gone up about a stroke.
You can still play. Let's put it that way.
I can still play. Okay. I can still play. I'm hanging in there. I don't have that new equipment yet, though.
That's true. And it's for people that haven't been to Augusta, that haven't walked the grounds. People always say, "Well, if you're a golfer, you got to get there once." And we've said it many, many times. You just can't believe the terrain. You can't believe just the beauty of the place, but especially the terrain. You just can't imagine, 100-foot drops and things like that, because television really, really doesn't do justice to it.
Yeah, you're right. It really doesn't. It'd be interesting to see what's like in these new what do they call it, 4K TVs and that type of thing, if that helps a little bit. But you really have to get there. I mean, if a person really wants to go and it's kind of a bucket list thing. If nothing else, you need to get online and at least sign up for the lottery to try to get those at least practice round tickets. And really, probably, if I were going to go one day, I would go to a practice round before I go to a competition round. That way you can take pictures with your cameras and more likely get a chance to get some autographs if you want and really see the course the way you'd like to. And it's unbelievable, the terrain. The green complexes are way more undulating than what you can see on TV. And like you said, just the elevation drops and the number six, the par three, it sure looks like when you're up at the tee box, it looks like it's a drop of about 60, 70 feet. And I think the drop from number 10 tee box to the bottom of the hill and the fairway there is like 100 and near 100 feet. And then from there to number 12, the little par three, where Jordan Spieth put two shots in the water last year. I think from the tee box of number 10 to that green, it's like 165 feet. So it's really significant. And it's just, and then plus it's just drop dead gorgeous. It's just beautiful.
I want to go back to 07 for a minute, Dave, if you will, and it was tough conditions. Third round was the worst. Zach shot 76, and actually that was under the field average that day. So
I think he may have even gained a spot or two with that 76.
Well, the final round, the father of Zach, take us down the stretch. Zach really thought he hit a heck of a second shot into 11, and that might have been the springboard to the championship. But take us to what you were feeling down the stretch.
Well, after we got down the front nine, I think by then there had been five or six different people that had led just by the time Zach got through the front nine, including Tiger. So, there was a lot of stuff going on. The weather was a little bit better that day. It probably wasn't. It wasn't quite as nice as Thursday. Thursday was the nicest day, and then Sunday was probably the second. So it was probably upper 50s, low 60s with some wind, but not terrible wind, but certainly enough on the back nine, especially at Amen Corner, to be of a concern. And the shot that Zach hit in on number 11, that was big because his ball flight is a draw, and I think he hit a four iron, and he said it was about the best shot he's hit maybe all week or all year or whatever. He was able to fade it in there and get it on the green. And, I think he just two-putted for par because that is such a hard hole. And then what I remember is he birdied 13. I'm sure 12 he parred, the par three, and then he laid up on 13. Hit a nice wedge shot, made that putt, and I think at that time, what I recall, he was up by one. And then 14, which to me is another really hard hole because I played it, par four, and that green is real wide but not very deep, and there's all kinds of humps and bumps. And that pin was back right, and as Larry Glatson, the Elmcrest pro, would tell you, Zach had a circle of about 10 feet where he had it. That shot had to land and be able to come up to that hole and then kind of come back around and settle down probably 8 to 10 feet from the pin. It was probably one of the closest shots hit to that pin all day. and he made that putt. And then based on what we saw looking at the small scoreboard at 14, he was two up. Coming down 15, the par five, he laid up again, of course, and I think that shot he may have just put on the back end of the back edge of the green and putted it, but he was on the fringe and tapped in for par.
Mm-hmm.
But as he was walking down 15, we heard this roar, and we could tell it was on 13, and we knew it was Tiger. And what we heard was a roar that started pretty loud, and then it grew, crescendoed, and then it stopped. And then we heard another roar, and at that point we knew that Tiger made eagle. I mean, you could just tell by the roars and what was going on. So the big scoreboard on 15, where Zach was at, we saw Tiger. And Tiger, when Zach made par on 15, Tiger was, I think, three or four strokes back. He makes the eagle, so he immediately goes up higher on that leaderboard score. And so we saw that. And so at that time, I think Zach was still two up on everybody, including Tiger. Zach hits a great shot on 16, makes that huge putt for birdie, and that was the only time he did par or better on that hole. 16, he three-putted Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and he finally one-putted on Sunday, and then he went up three. And at that point, my other son, Gabe, the new father, and my brother-in-law, and my nephew, and my future son-in-law, we all knew that it was kind of his tournament to lose or win at that point. He made bogey on the 17, part 18, and, won by two strokes.
Yeah. And
pretty amazing.
And the rest is history. And always forget, always remember that. That'll be great to relive that. Well, we hope you get the double this week. And
wouldn't that be something?
That would be great. And chance to see the new grandkid and then go over to Augusta to see Zach hopefully do well to wrap things up Saturday and Sunday. And Dave, always appreciate you coming aboard on the show. And safe travels to you and the family down to Augusta coming up this week.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Back with more Caddy Smack coming up after this here on KGYM.
Hi, this is Lori Grenier. You've seen me on Shark Tank. If you're like me, you probably rely on your phone to get things done. So I know you'll want to hear about Kabbage's mobile app. Kabbage has created a simple way for business owners to get funding from their phones. Download the mobile app and you can complete the application in minutes and access funds anytime. Kabbage has provided over $2.5 billion in funding to 90,000 small businesses. Download the Kabbage app today or call 888-KABBAGE. That's Kabbage with a K, K-A-B-B-A-G-E.
Five times more hires are made through Indeed.com than any other job site, according to independent research. Imagine a lottery that had five times more winners, or a Sunday with five times more touchdowns. When you're hiring, it makes five times more sense to use Indeed. Right now, we're giving new users a $50 credit to post a sponsored job on the world's number one job site. Claim your $50 credit at Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Does your supply house give you the tools you need to run your business from the office or from the job sites? Oh, well, I guess it can't all be like Ferguson. Ferguson.com gives you access to real-time inventory, apps to quickly restock your trucks, account and billing information, and shipping and delivery status right from your desktop or mobile device. And with product photos and spec sheets and personalized My Lists that make reorders a snap, we've made it easier than ever to do business with us, whenever and wherever you want. Get started at Ferguson.com.
Buying a razor is like buying a car. To get smooth, luxury quality, you have to pay a huge price. Not anymore. Shave with Dollar Shave Club. It's the smarter choice, luxury quality at an economy price. DSC has what you need and none of the overpriced gimmicks you don't. And right now, there's never been a better time to try DSC. You can get your first month of any of their razors for only $1, including free shipping. After that, it's just a few bucks a month. Get yours at dollarshaveclub.com/jones. dollarshaveclub.com/jones.
Two hosts born and raised in Eastern Iowa, talking Eastern Iowa sports. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
Back with you at 3:34. Caddy Smack on the Gym Class here on KGYM, presented by the Riverside Golf and Resort, as well as Blue Top Ridge. And with that in mind, we welcome in our resident pro here on Caddy Smack for the fourth year, Brian Haas from down at Blue Top Ridge, joining us again this year. How are you?
I'm doing well. Has it really been 4 years?
Hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah, it went fast.
Good times when you're having fun, right?
Yeah.
As they always say. How was your winter?
It was very good. It was very good. Thank you. Yeah. Did a little bit of traveling, a little work traveling, and but nowhere exotic. New York, Indianapolis, you know, that sort of stuff.
No, you got out with Titleist to California again this year?
I have not been out there in a little bit. They're doing a lot of different things and going in some different routes, you know, with our modern electronics that we have, we can do everything via webcast, you know, so don't have to go out there as often anymore.
Yeah. Rick Swann's going to join us coming up in a moment. In fact, there he is from Rob FM across the hallway, literally and figuratively across the hallway. It's more than two steps. It's like seven steps, isn't it?
Is it? I take big steps. You know, what can I say? Hey, Brian.
Hi.
How are you?
Doing well.
Good. Good to see you.
The gang is back together here on Masters Week and getting everything started. Great to hear from Dr. Dave Johnson right there. Mm-hmm. As Mark and I alluded to earlier on, the bad news is they didn't play today, they played up to 12:30 today, and the par three was rained out. And that doesn't happen very often down at Augusta.
Brings up a question for Brian here, because these guys are in a routine. I mean, they're getting ready for this big tournament. They've got a pattern with their practice schedules. How do you adjust for that?
Well, they're going to get some extra rest. That's for sure. What they got to be careful of is really just not getting too far out of the ordinary and making sure that they are using it for rest and make themselves comfortable instead of anxious.
Do you try to get in two or three rounds the day before? I mean, you know. I mean,
knowing you're probably going to get rained out today.
Probably not. They want to make sure they get in the gym today and go through their normal routines workout-wise. Maybe they'll have a little bit longer one because they're not out walking and playing. Mm-hmm. So maybe a little extra cardio today. But it won't be anything too crazy.
Weather is the big news, Brian, as you know, not only today but the next 2 days, with wind popping up in the afternoon, at least tomorrow, and then me continuing in to Friday with Zach Johnson teeing off at 9 o'clock Georgia time. It's going to be pretty raw, but the winds won't necessarily be up, and I think you'd prefer that.
Oh, he's got a good draw. There's no doubt about it. The draw for the morning time is going to be a good draw with these conditions, because typically it's more calm in the morning. The afternoons get a little more rough.
Mm-hmm. Well, Caddy Smack here. If you have a question for the panel, well, Brian, let's face it. If you have a question about your game for Brian, let us know. 319-366-1600. You can also reach us via the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line at 319-366-1600. Of course, we'll get our Masters picks coming up in a little bit. The golf world, though, earlier this week, we got to address this right away. The Lexi Thompson situation at the first major on the LPGA calendar for the year over in Rancho Mirage, California. And the golf world exploded Sunday into Monday. I think it's still kind of a little bit warm about the ruling, and which takes us into other rulings that are going to go into effect in 2019. But, boy, this thing was just a fiasco.
Well, my question is, in other sports, have they ever gone back and said the next day, I'm sorry you didn't win, or you didn't?
Right. No.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, they might show that replay and say, you know what, it should have been, but you know, the result was the result. And I think that's something they need to really seriously look at and consider, because when she marked her ball, they're showing that in very super slow-mo and in real time. What they haven't shown anybody on the internet or on television is in real time. I'd like to see it in real time, because then that'll really show you the non-intent of what happened.
My big beef, Brian and guys, is that those leaders are playing under basically different circumstances than the rest of the field.
Right.
If somebody's 12 back, the TV cameras aren't showing their play, and maybe perhaps their infractions.
Right.
Where the leaders, you know, justifiably are going to be shown more, and they're therefore under more scrutiny. So I think that's one bad part about it, too, aside from just viewers calling in.
Exactly.
You know the number to call, Rick?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, and how do they even know the number to call?
Maybe Twitter.
And can you imagine that in any other sport?
That was an email.
Any other sport, you're sitting there watching a game on Sunday of the NFL. Hey, I saw holding. I'm going to call.
Right.
He was holding.
I'm going to change the game right now.
You know, if that was the case, they'd put you on hold.
Exactly.
The fact of the matter was, it was an infraction.
It was. There's no doubt about it. And if anything, as I looked at it closer, I'm not so sure she didn't put the ball further away from
the
hole.
That's what we said.
Yeah.
And so, thus, it's still an infraction because she didn't replace the ball in the same place on the putting green. Did it really make a difference? I don't know. You know, that's the argument. It makes a difference because it is a different line to the cup. And even granted, it's a one-foot tap-in, whatever she had there. It wasn't a very long putt. But she was just doing it quickly for pace of play. You could tell the way she did it, and that's where I have the issue of it. The intent wasn't there to change the position. The position wasn't changed by quarters of an inch, maybe.
Not even that much, I don't think.
But yeah,
don't you think when a player signs his or her card at the end of a round, that's the end. I mean,
yeah, it should be.
Definitely. Think, yeah. Definitely. Because they could, last night's Cubs game, they could look at that play at first base at the end of the game there and keep looking at it to see if he was really out or not out. You know, even though they looked at it quickly and it was over with.
Mm-hmm.
And they moved on. And
right.
24 hours later, they changed the verdict on it. But
more than that, I heard Phil Mickelson talk pre-Masters. And he made the comment that there are several guys on tour that are notorious for mismarking and misreplacing their ball.
I heard that.
And that
as
was
well.
Pretty surprising to me. Would it be to you?
Yeah, and have him make that comment. I'm not sure I would have done that publicly.
Have you seen people do it? I mean, you don't have to give names, obviously, but you played a ton of events.
Right.
I mean, you've had to have seen it.
The most notorious one is they'll mark their ball, and then when they place it back down, there'll be more like a thumb's width between their coin and the ball, as opposed to right on top of the ball.
Yeah.
So that's the most common one that I see. When I see those, I honestly got to say I haven't seen it in real competition, but I have seen it in play where, you know, I just make the decision that just doesn't matter.
Is that the impetus? And it leads us into the discussion. If you want to comment, 319-366-1600. They came out with the edict earlier on this year that rules are going to be changed, probably common sense-wise. Golf rules have been around forever. Some of them are very antiquated. Is that correct?
Antiquated.
Antiquated. Yeah. I'm sorry. My bad. And I am a word scholar. Antiquated. And that's the reason for the changes, but they aren't going to go into effect until 2019. Now you've had the Dustin Johnson blow up last year at the U.S. Open. Now you've had Lexi Thompson this year in a major. Maybe it needs to go in, and maybe they need to look at a few more things.
I agree with that. And we were talking earlier about the divot in the fairway. That's one that didn't get put in. There's a number of them that are good. And to my count, there's about 33 changes. It may not be the exact number, but as I was kind of reading through them, I was trying to count them up at the same time, and it was about 33 changes that I counted.
Wow.
And they're good. You know, one being the most simple one that we see a lot of players do is tap down spike marks or imperfections in the green from other foot traffic.
People walking around the hole.
Yeah. And I'm kind of for that.
I am too.
You know, that's nothing, you know, that every player behind you has that disadvantage all the way through. So the only advantage would be the first one on the course.
And the leaders go off last.
Right.
So,
you
know.
Yeah.
I like that rule.
Yeah. I don't mind it either.
No, some of the rules out there that will be changed. They're common sense things, though. That's what I'm glad that golf is addressing at this point.
And they're updates. They're using words like penalty areas as opposed to hazards. And things that are going to make more sense to the modern player or the younger millennial that's coming to our game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a good thing that the rules need to be updated. The verbiage needs to be updated so that our modern player wants to come to the game and stay in the game because they weren't penalized for something that seemed really too out there, or too difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brian Haas joining us here on Caddy Smack on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. And, of course, being the first program of the year, we should talk about how to get your game ready to go. And if anybody out there has some questions or if you have a comment on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, let us know at 319-366-1600. Tips for people to get rolling, because it's going to be 60s, maybe even close to 70 this weekend, and Masters is on. I think a lot of people are going to be probably hitting the golf course.
It is. Imagine. You know, and we've had a lot of rain lately in our area. So the first thing I'd do is in between raindrops, if it looks like we got a little break, go find a putting green and hit some chips. Yeah. Get some putts and some chips in. Get the feeling the ball on the end of your club. Always start out with the shorter shots. Hit a lot of the chips and putts and then work out and hit some little wedge shots. If they have a short game area, even better if you can hit some 50-yard shots before you get to the practice range and start making the full swings. But if you go straight to the practice range, definitely hit some 20, 30-yard shots first and work your way out and before you pull that big driver out of the bag.
Anything particularly new in the equipment business, balls, clubs?
There's nothing too crazy different. However, you know, we do a lot of testing in the performance studio, and there's some drivers that have some faster speed. You can buy some game. There's no doubt about it. There's some neat things. We did a test in Indianapolis. I was doing a class 4 Titleist, and we're obviously hitting the Titleist equipment. But the player that was chosen to hit some balls that day, he had some serious ball speed. He was carrying the ball 303 yards on the carry. Yeah, so 333 total. And you know, the college kids are faster than today's tour players, or they're more like your Dustin Johnsons, but there's more of them, and because they got the physical piece a lot sooner than a lot of our current tour players, so their bodies are already in Dustin Johnson's condition. But that being said, he was hitting the new Epic driver. Love it. It's 10 yards longer than the last driver. It's an easy transition. So when we were doing Stephen Iams' new equipment this year, he got the new head. We brought it in. We took the head off of his old shaft, put the old shaft into the new head. Easy 10 yards.
Wow.
We were done. You know, so that's easy. But you're also talking about a golf professional that finds the middle of the face really easy. Mm-hmm. And so some of the equipment's really good and easy for the person that finds the middle of the face all the time, like that Epic. That's a great club. You're going to gain 10 yards. On the Titleist side of things, when we matched it up, though, you can about hit the ball anywhere on the face on the Titleist driver. So the average drive was longer for that player.
Wow.
So that's kind of interesting, too. So those are just two examples. There's lots of others out there that do some similar things.
For guys like us, there's no miracle cure, you know?
There is no pill, right?
You're high single digit or even double digit. There's no, I mean, we if you watch the Golf Channel and others, you see these infomercials, hit this drive straight all the time, the miracle wedge from the bunker.
Yeah.
No.
It's still physics. Your face angle still needs to be square. Your path needs to be somewhere in the general area of 5 or 6 degrees of either side of your target. You know, there's no substitute for swinging at your target.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah.
True. And get out there and it's a good time of the year to kind of change your routine a little bit if you need to go and make sure that you do some stretching. Especially as you get older, you need to stretch a little bit longer before you get into you ought to see our routine.
The 12 ounce curls don't count.
Those aren't part of the red. They can be, but it's not, you know, the first thing you should do.
Yeah, for some players a little swing oil is a good thing. But really the big piece for your body is your legs, as far as the golf swing goes. Even though we make that rotation with our upper body and we swing our arms and hands as fast as we can, most players try to do that anyway. It's your legs that really drive the ball and move it, whether that's a wedge shot or your driver. So really getting your legs stretched properly and definitely your hips and those general areas that need to get loose in order to make that motion.
319-366-1600. If you have a question, you have a comment, we're going to take a quick break. Come back with more Caddy Smack right after this here at 348 here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Nothing quite like owning a high-end tool. Well, actually, maybe there is. How about saving up to 15% on that tool? It's the Acme Tool Sale this Friday and Saturday. Save on more than 60 of the world's best brands. Register to win a tool valued at $600. And talk shop with reps who are sure to have the best tips. Don't miss the Acme Tool Sale this Friday and Saturday. Do your best work.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to KGYMradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great. And we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
Got some property to take care of? Let a Kubota help you out. Known worldwide as a leading seller of compact tractors and diesel utility vehicles, Kubota has the equipment to help you get your work done. With a variety of tractors and a range of horsepower options, Kubota delivers the efficiency, power, and comfort to handle light construction, landscape work, and chores on the farm. Take on your toughest jobs with a Kubota. See your local dealer today. To find your local Kubota dealer, visit iowakubotadealers.com.
3:50 here on Caddy Smack on the Gym Class here on KGYM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Rick Swan, and our pro, Brian Haas, from down at Blue Top Ridge in Riverside. And if you have a comment, you have a question, let us know. 319-366-1600. Been talking about rules. Been talking about the rule changes, getting your game ready to go, as a lot of people are going out for the very first time. Maybe even a lot of them coming up, because the Masters is always kind of the kickoff. The unofficial kickoff of the golf season, if you will, a little bit. At least it is for most people out there.
It is for me, for sure.
I'm going to ask you about the short game, and particularly putting, Brian. Even the pros seem to tinker with their grip, maybe change putters here and there. Isn't the conventional grip still the best? Or what are your thoughts on the claw and other methods?
Easy, easy, buddy.
I know. Right. You're a good putter, though.
Right. So we have a claw, conventional, and what are you?
Conventional, overlapping.
Conventional. So two conventionals and a claw. So that's kind of what you're going to see out there when you go to play today. So the reality is we need that putter to move, and most putting strokes are kind of a swinging door. So when the putter comes back, the door kind of swings a little bit open, comes back, squares up again, and then closes. So it kind of hinges that way. However you grab onto it, that's the method that putter needs to move through. So the honest truth is, it doesn't matter how you hang onto it, as long as it's comfortable and you can repeat a motion that's similar to that closing door. And so ultimately, we're seeing more and more of the younger generation go to the left hand low or cross handed, whatever method you want to call that. And rightfully so, it takes your hands out of it. And it keeps a little closer of a down the line stroke, but the door still swings open, squares, and closes just slightly. Mm-hmm. And that's getting to be the most common. So that's why we're seeing more and more mallets out being played than ever before, than your traditional plumber's neck that we see a lot of players like Jordan Spieth use, Tiger, Rory use a typical plumber's neck.
Absolutely. And you're now seeing, I know there's putters out there that have even racing technology that I've seen earlier this year. It's very interesting. You're getting the putter technology that you've kind of had in the driver technology over the past 10 years, which
is
fun.
So you're really in high moment of inertia putters.
Exactly.
Is what that is. So they're able to move the weight outside of the face of the putter, which creates less twisting of the putter head. Thus, it's demanding a more straight back, straight through style stroke, which there really is no such thing because we swing around ourselves. But so you'd be a slightly inside to square to slightly inside on your finish. But for the younger generation, that's the type of putter that they're learning on and you're going to see in their hands most often. They're taking weights and they're moving them out to the outer edges of those putters. And it's really hard to move that putter left and right. And we put one of those in Rick's hand a number of years ago, and that was one of the first.
I love my putter.
Yeah, one of the very first high moment of inertia putters that was available. It's a Scotty Cameron.
Yeah,
and they just rebuilt that again this year in their line to do it again, just because of the result it gets.
I mean, the feel of that thing is amazing. You know, just a couple of practice putts, and I know how far it's going to go that day. I mean, it just seems to always be around the hole.
Right. And we're just mentioning that one. There's lots of them.
Right.
Odyssey makes them. You know, each of the spider putter that TaylorMade makes is a great another example of a high moment of inertia putter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Well, let's talk Masters. it sounds like they're going to have wind. They're going to have some cool temperatures first couple of days anyway. So
soft conditions.
So open it up to everybody.
What was that weather like when Zach won the Masters?
Same way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very similar.
Wait, yeah. Is that your pick then, Rick?
Well, I will go with Zach, and then I'll make another pick as well.
Okay. How's that? We'll let you. We'll allow it.
I'm not going to root against Zach.
We'll allow it.
Yeah, that's hard to do. Right? Yeah.
Is it Dustin Johnson's, though? I mean, is it his tournament to lose at this point?
It's now with these conditions, I think it's not a bomber's advantage any longer, because now, you know, it's softer, cooler. I just don't see it as a bomber's advantage.
Is it Rory's turn? I've heard a lot of talk about Rory in other places.
Well, our poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway is, who wins this year's Masters? Mother Nature or the field?
I like that.
Who is it? Hadwin is having a great year.
Playing
with Zach tomorrow, teeing off. It's Zach, Hadwin, and Oosthuizen. Yeah.
Yep. They'll be teeing off tomorrow.
I have to go with the hot hand. Dustin Johnson's won three in a row, and Brian, as you know, he's not only a bomber. He's got the wedges dialed in to perfection, and he's putting the ball extremely well. Getting that first Masters win is not easy.
No.
But it's hard to go against the hot hand, and I want to keep an eye on Jon Rahm, too, the young Spaniard, who's really had a good part of the first year.
You know a name nobody's said yet?
Who?
Jordan Spieth, who had it in hand until the last four or five holes there last year.
Right.
He's exercised some demons, he said, on the 12th hole.
Right.
There's a difference between exercising demons in a practice round and exercising demons in a real round.
I think Jason Day might be motivated,
that
too.
That is what
Jason
I say.
Jason off his mother's situation.
Absolutely.
And him feeling comfortable and not really thinking about
it's a big
that.
Big weight off his shoulders.
Yeah.
Right.
He could just step. I think Jason Day might have a real good week. I would, if you're laying down 20-1 odds, I told you earlier this week, Jason Day is not a bad pick. I would not discount Lefty. He's been playing very well, and he seems to always pick the game up a little bit more when he gets to Augusta. But with that being said, I think it's Dustin's tournament.
Text not related to the Masters for all you guys. If you had to bet $1,000 over and under the number of future PGA Tour wins for Tiger, is it over and under one?
Wow.
How are you betting?
Ooh.
It's under.
I think
he's done.
You think?
I think I'm with Brian.
I think he's done.
Boy.
I don't want to say that, but the reality is everything he's posturing around is saying he's done.
Even his good friend Mark O'Meara said after the champions dinner last night that the guy's struggling.
Yeah, I don't like the finality of saying somebody's done.
No.
You know, but I hope he stays in golf.
If I take one, is it a push?
Yeah, you can take one.
Yeah.
You can take one.
I just would love to see him come back and play. But
if he's not
playing, it's not looking that way though.
If he's not playing at Augusta in the Masters, then that tells you right there that that's gotta be killing him.
Right.
Because he's wanting to be there.
I bet it was hard for him to go to the dinner last night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exactly.
Brian, the cut typically is around even, maybe plus one, but the weather we're expecting, God, what will it be?
It's hard to say, because sometimes when it's soft, they play better.
But the wind.
But yeah, it's really going to depend on the wind. If it's not windy and this weather passes through, but it stays soft, it could be pretty low. And if it gets windy, then who knows what that number is. That could be anything.
Yeah, it'll be something to watch over the weekend. Well, we're off and running with Caddy Smack. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, and we'll be here through August. And I want to thank everybody. We're going to have more sponsors coming in as we go through the next month or so. So looking forward to that. And Brian, always good to see you. And,
yeah, thanks for having me back.
And we look forward to another great year, hopefully more golf this year.
Yeah.
That's a big thing. Hopefully more golf for everybody out there. And again, and even if you have a question, go ahead and let us know. We're on Twitter out there. You can reach us via email as well if you have something for our next show coming up in a couple of weeks. So we'll see you then.
All right.
All right. Rick, thank you.
Yeah.
We'll let you go across the hall.
All right. Got to go play some tunes.
All right. And Mark, we got John Krant coming up tomorrow.
Yep. See you on Lane 21 tonight.
Yep. We'll have a Bowling Night in America wrap-up coming up tomorrow as well. You've been listening to The Gym Class in KGYM.
The ASC certified technicians at Firestone Complete Auto Care can tell you, if your car's got the power, it needs the traction. Right now, buy a set of four eligible Bridgestone tires and get a $70 Bridgestone Visa prepaid card by mail. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone. Offer